Changing Lanes, the official podcast of BMW. Welcome to this episode of Changing Lanes, the official podcast of BMW. I'm Jonathan Tilley, and today on the podcast, I've got a question for you. Do you want to become a BMW design expert? I ask because we get tons of comments on the podcast about things you like and things that you dislike, about specific design features. So if you're wondering about the hows and whys of BMW design, this podcast is made just for you. However, I gotta tell you, I can already say that it's not as easy as some of you might think. So to help you out, we've got a very special guest with us. Christopher Weil, head of exterior design at BMW. Now, his journey began in 2000, working on advanced design for exterior and interior design at BMW, and he's worked his way up as senior automotive designer, director of global automotive design, head of exterior design at Mini, and now is the head of exterior design at BMW. So what better way to learn more about design than with Christopher Weil? Christopher, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I just gave a rough outline of, you know, what you've done in the past and the work that you've done. But why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I'm Garmisch-Partenkirchen born, right in the Alps, not far from here, not far from Munich. And I studied transportation design. All my life I was interested in car design, especially in design in generally, but car design especially. I was into creative arts also from the beginning on. And now I'm married, father of two kids. I'm working for BMW. That's a dream come true. I'm designer with heart and soul.
Wow. Sounds fantastic. So thank you for sharing all that backstory with us. So today on the podcast, we're diving into how to become a design expert at BMW. Now, Christopher, you have many years that you've invested to become a designer. So just listening to this podcast once and thinking that you can be a design expert, it's a stretch, but we have to start somewhere, right? So we're going to be talking about the classic design elements like the infamous BMW kidney grille, and I will be grilling you, Christopher, on how much you can tell us about the 4 Series Grand Coupe. But before we dive into all of these design questions and answers, I want to ask you something about the very beginning. So tell us the story of how you became a BMW designer.
Yeah, I was interested in car design, as I said. So cars were fascinating me from right at the start, I would say. And then I found out that you can study car design in Pforzheim in Germany. Mm-hmm. And that this especially university is a very renowned one. Mm-hmm. So I, of course, tried to get in. This worked out. And then I can say that sort of a BMW talent scout found me there.
Oh, wow.
So I was right picked from university and started at BMW. And this was a dream for me.
Oh, fantastic. So you went to university and did such amazing work that somebody picked you out from the crowd and said, hey, I think we got something for you.
Yeah, seems like that.
And it was a match because, I mean, you said it's a dream job to work for BMW.
Yeah, especially BMW. So I always had kind of a laugh for BMW cars. I thought they are so beautiful. They're well executed. There were details on the car which had no other brand. Mm-hmm. I was totally amazed by every BMW which came out back then. And so it was a total dream, match.
Sounds like a perfect match, doesn't it? Well, you know, speaking about design, you know, it's just not making things look cool. It's mainly about problem solving and solving all those problems and everything else. So like you said, the design, you just love the design elements that are only for BMW. Those design elements are beautiful, but I'm sure that they also solve a problem that's there. So as a designer now, what are the most challenging things about your job?
Yeah, as you just described, and as maybe one doesn't know, is that there is a lot of requirements out there. So there is legal requirements, there's aerodynamic requirements, there's kind of package requirements, so to say. So the technique behind it has to be packed in a certain way, and you have to work around it. And there's many more requirements. And of course, there's problems coming up during the way, other problems that you say, okay, how to fix this part to that part or whatever. And of course, you have to solve these problems as a designer. You got help by the engineers, but you have also to come up with ideas how to solve them. And you have to do it like this instantly. And that's something which is not so easy.
Yeah, exactly. So with all these challenges that you face and having to come up with these ideas so quickly, how do you keep coming up with ideas? I mean, we see on the outside of like a beautiful design and nobody really thinks about all the details and the ways that you came up with it. But how do you keep coming up with new ideas?
Yeah, I'm trying to inspire myself. Uh-huh. Of course, I'm looking also into the car world, what's happening out there. But besides that, of course, I'm open for things which are inspiring to me. That can be little things, yeah. that can be greater things, that can be design, arts, mm-hmm. architecture, whatever. And I'm very future oriented. Uh-huh. That's also one thing which is important to me, to look into what's next, what's coming up, what's driving the world, what's out there. I've very fine antennas in this direction. Mm-hmm. And I try to anticipate trends before they're there, you know. So that's something which I'm doing intensely.
Oh wow. So tell me a little bit more. So what's a trend that you've gone, you know, I think it's gonna go in this direction, and then you did it and it worked. Is there anything that you can share with us without spilling the beans?
Yeah, for example, when we did the Next 100, for example, yeah. I was working back then for Mini. Uh-huh. And the Mini Next 100, we tried to digitize the exterior. So, uh-huh. so far, the interiors of cars are digitized, but not the exterior.
Right.
And that's something we think, or we believed back then, that it's coming up, that it's something which will be next. Wow. Now it's there, you know, you see it. If you kind of walk on car shows or something,
yeah.
you see this trend getting real.
Wow. And you were a part of it. Well, do you have any concrete examples of what inspires a design aspect on a car? Like, for example, the shape of your toothbrush that gives you the idea for a fender, or a blinking light in a movie could be a new idea for a left and right blinker. Like any things from your day-to-day life that inspire you?
Yeah, the inspiration process is kind of weird, or it's not as literal as uh-huh. as maybe you think of it. Mm-hmm. It's something that, for example, if I see something which inspires me, like Nendo, for example, it's mm-hmm. a very inspirational design office, let's say. Mm-hmm. They're doing great stuff. And I see something... and then it vanishes again, and maybe it's coming up way later or something. Mm-hmm. And I have an idea which is connected to this one,
yeah.
but there's no direct link. It's kind of yeah. more, let's say, it's blurry or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not as direct as maybe many people think. Or if you see a science fiction movie and you see a certain detail or something, it can also be inspiring. But also profane things like anyday life or whatever
yeah.
can inspire you. And the inspiration is more like a feeling or something. It's mm-hmm. not tangible. It's not like seeing something and then saying, wow, this is cool. We need something like this
yeah.
directly
yeah.
in the car or something. It's not like that.
Yeah, It's like a gathering pool of ideas that's in the back
yeah,
of your mind,
yeah.
saved. And then, I think, 10 years ago when I saw that movie, or
yeah, yeah.
5 days ago when that blade of grass, bring yeah. that together and bring it into this. So it's more yeah. like that.
Maybe more like that, but then it can kind of stick together. Many things you saw can kind of build up something new or
yeah.
something. It's more mystical or something. It's not tangible. You can't,
yeah.
you can't say, okay, it's exactly like this, or you have to follow a certain process or
yeah.
something. That's not the case.
Yeah. I love that. That's so cool. So, I mean, obviously, like you said before, this is your dream job, right?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. So could you imagine doing anything else?
No, not yet. So this is my total dream job. It's
yeah.
it's kind of challenging every day.
Yeah.
This problem solving is really fun
yeah.
to me. Also designing is fun. I'm working for a dream brand, BMW. That's
yeah.
that's my dream, my ever dream. So no, I can't imagine any better job. It's
wow.
it's new to me every day. It's challenging every day. I'm learning. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
That's also important. So No, it's the best job in the world.
That's so cool. So if you didn't become a designer, would there be another job that you would want to do? I mean, I love asking this question because you see, you know, people asking celebrities, if you weren't a Tom Cruise, if you weren't a famous actor, what would you be doing? He would say like a waiter or a mechanic or something. Yeah. So if this wasn't even on the table, would there be another job opportunity that you'd be interested in doing?
There was one. Whilst being in the waiting loop for port time, because you have to do kind of a test like that you're capable of doing arts or that you're creative, I studied for one term crop sciences. So I'm also interested in biology, and this was something which was intriguing to me as well. But of course, I had the love for car design. I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
But I said, okay, waiting for kind of starting in Pforzheim, I do something else which is interesting to me.
Well, we're glad that you stuck with design, because look at all the amazing things that you've done. All right, so let's get to the fun stuff. The design work that you've done, that's what I'm really excited about talking about. So what are the most exciting cars that you've worked on so far, and what made them exciting for you?
Yeah, the most exciting cars for me, of course, the 3 Series. Mm-hmm. I did the predecessor of the current one, and this is an icon. And working on an icon is super tough, super difficult, but also a lot of fun. That's kind of a challenge, which was exceptional to me. But besides that, of course, show cars, that's always kind of a goodie for a designer.
Yeah,
that's,
of course.
That was the BMW 328 homage. Wow. This was very special because we could refer to the past with this car by doing a modern interpretation of it. And the already mentioned Mini Next 100, which was also very, very special.
Yeah, especially with the show cars, you know, you can really just let your design inspiration go wild.
Yeah.
And go for it. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But without giving away all of your secrets, what have you been working on recently? More specifically, can you tell us anything about the 4 Grand Coupe?
Yeah, the 4 Series Grand Coupe, that's a stunner. That's a super beautiful car.
Nice.
Perfect proportions, sensual surfacing. This car is kind of a dream BMW.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm dying to ask you, and I'm sure that you get this question all the time. When you're working with so many cars and designing so many beautiful designs for BMW, of course, you fall in love with every single one, but what's your favorite BMW model and why?
Yeah, the favorite one is the 3.0 CSL, because this is super beautiful. This is BMW to the core. Yeah. It's agile, it's lightweight looking. To me, it's really the archetype of BMW. But besides that, of course, there are other BMWs of the past, like the E21, the first 3 Series. I had one of those. Awesome car, awesome to drive, so much fun.
Fantastic. Well, speaking about all these design elements, you know, off the top of my head, you think of classic design elements from BMW, like obviously the kidney grille, the 4i optic headlights, or the Hofmeister kink that we all immediately recognize whenever a BMW is on the road. But, you know, Christopher, are there any other design elements of a classic BMW that are typically recognized?
Yeah, there's tons of elements. So we have a lot of icons, starting with the proportions. So you have always a long hood. For BMW, you have wheels which are placed to the corners, let's say, so small overhangs. You have, for instance, the Sicker line, which is also very BMW. So there's L-shaped taillights. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you mentioned them.
Yeah, you did.
So there is quite a lot of iconic elements.
Yeah, to make a BMW just look recognizable immediately.
Totally.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned, you know, the kidney grille, the headlights, the Hofmeister kink, but also you mentioned, Christopher, the Sicker line. So for the people who don't know, what is a Sicker line?
Yeah, the Sicker line was created back then with the Neue Klasse.
Mm-hmm.
It's a line which is running across the body side, and it gives a BMW a certain speed, formal speed, makes the car look like being on a jump or ready to start. It's a line which is catching shadow. And nowadays, we also developing this line further. So it's not literally anymore the Sicker line like in the past, like line, shadow, and then the rest of the body surface. it can be a crease line now. It can be placed on different, let's say, positions, mm-hmm. not as high as it was in the past, maybe lower. So we play with it.
So that's the sickle line.
That's the sickle line.
So, I mean, obviously, as a designer, you literally know the ins and outs of BMW. So what are the specific details and also differences in exterior and interior design?
Yeah, exterior design is about the big gesture, I would say. Mm-hmm. So it's the part you fall in love with yeah. immediately. It catches your emotions. That's the exterior design. The interior design is more like furniture design. Like it's about well-being, but it's also about controlling the mm-hmm. machine somehow.
Yeah.
And interior design is getting more and more important. But the part which catches you, that's the exterior.
Yeah, most definitely. Okay, so to recap, we have the kidney grille, the 4-eye optic headlights, the Hofmeister kink, small overhangs, L-shaped taillights, long hood, and the sickle line. Now, these iconic elements, they've stood the test of time. That's what makes them so iconic. But, you know, as designs change, so do these iconic elements. Otherwise, the entire design concept wouldn't be cohesive. So, Christopher, how do you continue to develop such iconic elements without taking away their character?
Yeah, that's a hard, tough part, let's say. We're looking really deeply into our icons and developing them mm-hmm. kind of carefully further. Yeah. And there is barely no, I think, icon which was not developed throughout time or not further developed throughout
True.
Time. I don't know if there's maybe the BMW logo, but even that one is iconic and yeah. stayed for, like, we changed it throughout time. So it's kind of important to do the next step, of course, yeah. to kind of shift or push the boundaries. Mm-hmm. That's what we are doing without hurting the icons.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. And, you know, going to the other extreme, you know, is there a design element that has not evolved at all since the beginning just because it's just too good to touch?
No. There's no one, I think. Yeah. There's no design element which we didn't touch. So there is a constant further development.
Yeah. Whether it be like rounding off the edges or elongating something or making it fit I absolutely love that. So these iconic design elements, although they've changed throughout the years, you still can recognize it from way back when to even today. You know that kidney grille is the BMW kidney grille, no matter what year it's made.
Exactly.
All right, let's get personal. With all of these design elements, surely there's one that you love. Or maybe more. Is there a particular design element that makes your heart beat faster?
Yeah, there are some. I'm a total wheel aficionado. Uh-huh. So big wheels, which are always looking stunning, mm-hmm. they're kind of touching me somehow. Yeah. But besides that, of course, taillights, front lights, they are very special. It's kind of a piece of technique which you can see from the exterior. Mm-hmm. That's very important to me and make my heart beat faster. Mm-hmm. But besides that, of course, the kidney grille.
Yeah. Well, speaking about the kidney grille, and we spoke about it just a few minutes ago, it's one of those design elements that just makes a BMW. You look at it, you go, yeah, of course.
Exactly.
And, you know, other than the 700 and the Isetta, all BMWs have that iconic kidney grille. So can you shed some light on the history of the infamous kidney grille with us?
Yeah, it was, I think, created back in the 20s already, or mm-hmm. 30s. First BMWs were kind of carrying this very characteristic mark for BMW. And since then, it was further developed. So it came out of, let's say, grille cooling. But then it was aerodynamically optimized, so the corners were rounded off. And since then, developed further up to today. And I think there's, at the moment, or up to today, there's no other car brand with a separation in the middle. Mm. And this makes somehow the kidney grille super iconic. Yeah. It stands for BMW.
Yeah.
It's the most important icon for our customers, for our fans. And that's making this particular design element so important for BMW.
Why do you think the kidney grille is so distinctive? Why is it so important?
Yeah, because it's so characterful. It's so different to anything you see out there. So you immediately recognize by the kidney grille, this is a BMW.
Yeah. And here's an additional question. Do you have a favorite kidney grille in BMW history, the 3.0 CSL, or even the one on the F33 series that you designed yourself?
Yeah. Oh, the F33 series is also a special one. If you look closely to this one, you see there's a certain three-dimensionality to it. Mm-hmm. So this one I like a lot, of course. But besides that, of course, also 3.0 CSL or all cars which came in that era, I would say up to E30. So these kidney grills are so iconic, so strong. I like them a lot.
Nice. So speaking of other design elements like the Hofmeister kink, for the podcast listeners that are maybe in the dark, who or what is Hofmeister?
Yeah, it came from Wilhelm Hofmeister. He was the chief designer of BMW from 1955, I think, till the 70s. And he created the Hofmeister kink for structural reasons. I think the first car who carried the Hofmeister kink was, I think, the 2800 CS Bertone. And as I said, for the beginning, it was created for structural reasons, but now it's a design element. And BMW carried it through time, and now it's an icon.
It's just part of the program. And we also talked about the four headlight design. So when was this four headlight design first used, and why was it invented?
Yeah, this also came, I think, in the late 60s, early 70s. And this was also kind of a hallmark or a design element for cars which have power. So not only BMW used double round headlamps, all sporty cars back then had double round headlamps. This signalized to people on the Autobahn, for example, get out of the way.
Yeah.
Here's somebody coming who's capable.
Exactly.
So BMW stick to it or stuck to it. And that's the secret behind it. So it became an icon because BMW didn't change. It didn't go away from double round headlamps.
Yeah. Well, the four headlamp design, speaking of the number four, let's talk about a little bit of the four series, shall we?
Yeah, sure, sure.
So now, okay, our podcast listeners, we have a better understanding of what it takes to become a BMW design expert. But, you know, we need to put our knowledge into practice, don't we? So what better model to do so with than with the four series? So, Christopher, how are the classic BMW design elements, how are they being used in the 4 Series Grand Coupe?
Yeah, we developed them further. So we try to create a character, a special character. Every car has a character, as, let's say, our customers are also different, different characteristics. So we look deeply into what we should do next. Like when the 4 Series coming out, should this be kind of the small brother or the big brother of the 3 Series, or should it be different? Should it have its own character? And we decided, no, this car should be different. It should be more expressive. And therefore, we looked at every detail, every icon, and developed the icons further.
Yeah, fabulous. So was it inspired by other BMW models? You said with the 3, should we just make it the big brother, or it's its own thing? So was it inspired by other BMW models as well?
Sure. It was hardly inspired by the past of BMW. Like you were mentioning the kidney grille. Like back then, all the coupes, like starting with BMW 328, for example, or maybe the just mentioned 3.0 CSL, which is a stunner. All those cars had very slim kidney grills, but more upright than wide, let's say, or more high than wide. And we took these design elements from these cars from the past and did a very modern interpretation of it. So gave the 4 Series a special looks also on the face of the car. Like we wanted to let's say distinct this car or give this car its own expression.
Yeah.
Very strong expression. And I think it's great that this car is so different from any other BMW.
Yeah. I mean, speaking about this car being so different, like you said, from the 3 and from all the other different models, I mean, speaking about the 4 Series, it has an electric sibling, the i4, and its powerful version, the i4 M50. So how do you make sure that all these different concepts are still easily recognizable as real BMWs, but at the same time express that they follow different concepts?
Yeah, so proportions are making a BMW, and the icons, of course. So the icons are, for the Electric Brothers, also further developed. So you'll see this car has an electric drivetrain. Yeah. The kidney is closed, for example. Or all the surfacing is more, let's say, clean. And we took out some lines. We kind of reduced surface language a little bit more for the electric siblings. But let's say the core elements are still the same as on the 4 Series and therefore recognizable.
Yeah. You know, I love having these conversations about design because you keep the iconic design elements, but you're allowed to play with them a bit and adjust them. And this is just so fascinating to me. However, there's a difference between design evolution and revolution, right? So with some of these models in the past, you could directly trace them back to their ancestors, while with others, they changed absolutely everything up. So what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, normally there's kind of an evolution-revolution cycle, let's say. Yeah. So you do one model, which is revolutionary, then you kind of further develop or fine-tune, let's say, with the next model, the newly introduced elements, and then you do again a revolution. Mm-hmm. That's the normal cycle.
Ah.
It's nowadays, let's say, a bit different, but I think this works pretty well because customers, they are thinking, wow, what's that? What's happening here? For example, when E36 came out back then, it made everything different. I personally was shocked, you know, kidney were framed by body color. You had the double round headlamps under glass, wedge, different to any BMW before.
Yeah.
So shock at the beginning, but then it's growing on you. Kind of, it needs time.
Ah.
Then you think, wow, that's cool. That's futuristic. Yeah. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
And it's the same with these cars. And then fine tuning. And again, after one cycle, the next, bam.
Yeah. And you know, with evolution and revolution, how often does this cycle happen? How often is there a new revolution or does it change?
Yeah, the revolutions are kind of, I would say, every 10 years or something.
Yeah.
You're doing a revolution.
Yeah. And then the next 9 years, so the first year of revolution and the next 9 years of just evolution, fine tuning, and then get ready for it. A new decade, bam, something new.
Exactly.
No, yeah. Awesome. Well, speaking about, you know, design and design process, after putting all of the things that we've learned to become a design expert into practice, it's really clear that what we see on the road in a finished model is years of hard work of solving problems and using innovative technologies just to get what's in our heads onto the road. Not an easy task, and you do it so effortlessly. So let's wrap this up and talk about the design process. So how does the development of a new model take place? Are you sitting around a table and brainstorming in silence? Or you said that things have to go really, really fast. Is it absolutely chaos? It's like, we need this done differently yesterday. So, or is it a mix of both?
It's a very defined process.
Yeah.
So we are always starting with a workshop and we're defining the character. We are thinking of the customers, of course, because every customer is different. A 3-series customer is different from a 7-series customer.
Yeah.
So we're thinking, how is this customer? What is his needs? And then we're defining the character for a specific car. And with this character, we're doing a briefing for the designers. So they get a whole package.
Yeah.
And then they start designing on this specific character. That's the thing. And design process is kind of a sport, let's say.
Yeah.
So it's very challenging. It's very exhausting as well because you're competing with different designers and fighting for your idea.
Yeah.
And then if you make it, you're the winner.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's ideas being flown and flung everywhere that land on the, you know, cutting room floor. Or do any of those design things that just didn't make it, are they saved somewhere? And then maybe a couple of years later, it's like, oh, remember when so-and-so said that? Could you use that for another make and model? Or does that even come up?
Yeah, sometimes ideas or designers try to recycle their ideas sometimes. But normally they're creating new stuff.
Yeah.
Every race.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, I think I'm ready. After speaking about all of this and putting this into practice. And I'd like to take a guess at what elements are the most difficult to design and which elements are pretty easy. And then you can tell me if I'm completely on track or completely off the loop, all right? Okay, I think the most, let's start with the easiest one. I think the easiest one to design would be the kidney grill because it's so iconic. Yes, there's going to be, you know, little adjustments to it, but it's something that everybody is going to be looking for. One of the first things they look at. So I think that's going to be, I don't want to say the easiest, but it's something that it's like, okay, what do we do here? How can we make it iconic, but also make it, you know, a little bit extra cool. I think the Hofmeister kink is going to be easy because it's iconic. It's what every BMW has. Mm-hmm. I think, and like you said, with the headlamps, you know, that they were during that last revolution, they were behind the glass. You know, that was revolutionary. So I'm thinking maybe the headlights might be a little bit difficult to redesign.
Yeah.
What else? What am I missing? One more design element.
The wheels, for example.
The wheels, yeah.
Are hard to design.
Yeah.
Really hard. Because there's so many, let's say, restrictions. There is a certain construction you have to follow. There's forces.
Yeah.
Which are kind of influencing wheel design as well.
Yeah.
So that's also tough.
It's obvious, but when you actually think about it, it came into my head. I'm like, duh, that's so obvious. But with headlamps.
Yeah, headlamps, that's tough.
Or the grill, they have a function, but wheels are actually what actually moves the car. So that has to be, I'm sure
they have to be safe. Definitely.
Yeah, totally safe. Totally safe. That. So how did I do with my guessing?
Yeah, very good.
Was
pretty good.
Okay?
Yeah, it was okay. No, you're right. So the kidney grill, of course, it's not so easy.
Yeah.
It's not totally easy, but of course it's the main icon. Most designers start with the kidney grill.
Yeah.
Or designing around it. It's kind of the center, the heart piece of the car.
Yeah.
And headlights are super tough. There's
a
lot of restrictions, laws. There's different angles you have to follow the tooling is working, whatever. It's super complicated.
Yeah.
A headlamp is kind of a jewelry piece which is hard to design.
Yeah. Nice. Not bad. Yeah. See, even I can become a BMW design expert in one podcast episode.
Totally. Yeah.
So with Photoshop, Blender, and all those different things, and making everything so much more accessible for design, a lot of fans can create their renders of their dream BMWs, with some looking actually pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So have you ever looked at one Photoshop design or a new idea that a fan has created and thought, oh, wow, you know, actually, that's pretty cool. We might bring that into the design phase.
Yeah. So, of course, it's super interesting what's happening out there. And when people are kind of working with BMW or creating their own ideas, it's always amazing. It's always amazing to look at. I'm doing this very often, and I'm doing it with pleasure. But our creative team is so creative.
Yeah.
They're coming up with their ideas, and they're, most of the time, more fitting than to the product.
Yeah.
So no, we don't take ideas of other people. We are creating our own ideas, but it can be inspiring.
Yeah, most definitely. Really cool to see how people are using the design concept and making it on their own. Sort of like what we're talking about today, how to become a BMW design expert. We're starting with a podcast. People might move on over to Photoshop or some design tools. And who knows? They might be as lucky as you, picked out from university and go directly to BMW.
Totally. And what's interesting is that the tool makes also the design sometimes. Yeah. So if you think back in the 70s where people were drawing on Canson with white crayons, for example, you had a lot of chrome on the cars. Now, change to Photoshop, cars are looking different. Now with Blender, it's the next level. So the tool is kind of influencing the design as well. That's interesting.
All right, so to follow up with that, because this is so interesting, what do you use as tools? Do you use pen and paper? You're speaking about Blender. So what's your exact design process?
Yeah, usually I work with paper and pen.
Really?
And that's pretty easy. That's super nice. You can create ideas very fast.
Yeah.
And you can look into them. Is it worth to look more intensely into that idea? Or maybe you create another one, a new one. But besides that, of course, Photoshop. That's the tool of my choice. And I'm looking recently also into Blender.
Well, last but not least, let's talk about the BMW fans. Now, how do you manage to meet all of the fans' requirements for the latest and greatest BMWs that roll out? I mean, you said, you know, in the design process, you have the people that want this new specific make and model that you workshop with. So it's like you're working with super fans and building from there. Yeah. But how easy or difficult is it to make everybody, all the BMW fans, happy?
It's not easy to make everybody happy. That's a tough one. But we are taking our fans super serious. Mm. Good thing is that a lot of fans already working for BMW.
Really?
That's one thing. but we think deeply how our customers are ticking.
Yeah.
Then we are showing our products our fans. So before they're released, and let them judge the product somehow. That we are doing as well. But besides that, of course, We are taking also our fans on a journey. So as I said before, even if you don't like a design at the beginning, you'll probably like it after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And fans shouldn't be too afraid or too, upset or something if they see a design element which is not fitting their needs or their demands or whatever, or their expectations. Because as I said before, every BMW is designed purposely. It's designed to a specific character.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like this one, then take the other one. So no fan should be afraid that, for example, a certain kidney grill or a certain, let's say, Hofmeister kink execution will be put on every BMW.
Yeah.
No, that's not the case. So some are looking like that, some are like that. But we're always, as I said before, kind of widening the bandwidth.
Yeah.
And that's important to a premium brand because we have to, let's say, set the pace, or we have to kind of push. Everybody's looking at BMW and others that happened in the past.
Yeah.
A lot. So it's proven, let's say, others are following what BMW is doing.
Yeah.
And fans, I think they at the end are very happy because let's talk about the M3, M4, for example, the current one. So the M fans, which are hardcore fans of BMW, may be shocked at the beginning. Wow, what happened to our M3, M4?
Yeah.
Now they're loving it.
Yeah. And like you said in the beginning, you know, you look for trends that you think that BMW fans will love without even knowing it, before they even know that they're going to love it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's part of your job, and you're doing an amazing job already. So why not have a little bit of trust in the process? And when a revolution does come out, then be open to it and know that it's going to evolve into something super cool and that we're all going to fall in love with it, usually. And that's the whole part of the process, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just solving those problems and also trying to think ahead and be innovative for the BMW fans.
Yeah. If you like something from the beginning on, it can happen that it's getting boring pretty easily, pretty soon. So it's good that you have something, design elements, where you have your certain struggles with, you know, where you have to work all the time. Is it cool? Is it not cool?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to love it.
Yeah.
It's like on a CD, for example. If you have a favorite band or something
and
you buy the CD, there's a track which is super awkward at the beginning. You think, hey, what's that? The rest is cool. This one not, maybe. Then you find out at the very end, this is the one.
Yeah.
This is the one you love, you know. Or for example, it's also in fashion design or, I don't know, architecture. If you think, hey, what's happening there?
Yeah.
What are they doing? And then you find out, wow, they were ahead of its time.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you're doing. So thank you so much for giving us a little behind-the-scenes sneak peek of what it's like to be a design expert at BMW. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks.
And thank you to our podcast listeners for joining us for this week's episode of Changing Lanes. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you subscribe to our podcast for future episodes. And to dive deeper into all things BMW, head on over to BMW.com to learn more. I'm Jonathan Tilley, and this has been Changing Lanes. See you next time.